Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. And I get to sit right in between Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton, and Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, it's Hello. Great to be here with you, too.
Good to be here with you guys. It's August. Can you believe it?
I know. No, I can believe it because it's really hot. It's hot. We don't have air conditioning. I'm about ready to hire Alice. You know, Alice put in her air conditioning in her own house. I'm about ready to hire you, Alice, and have you come to our house.
Are you ready to make that leap to the world of AC? I'll be there to help.
I'll bring
my pink tools with me.
Put it in because it'll probably get cold about the time you do.
Exactly.
I want to give a couple reminders here before we jump on the phones. Every Man's Battle is starting Friday. This is Wednesday. It starts in 2 days right here in Orange County. We typically get some last-minute people, quite a few actually. And I would just encourage you, if you've been sitting there thinking, oh, man, this is my chance. Am I going to do it? This is your chance. Do it. Give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE.
Can I just mention something quick? I was just telling you, too, when I got into the studio, I had a call from a woman who is looking for help. They're retired. She just found out that her husband is going to massage parlors, and he's been looking at porn for years. And I gave her one of our New Life therapists and just found out she's scheduled for tomorrow.
All right.
But I thought about what we do here is throwing out lifelines to people and helping to pull them in so they get the right support and help. And Every Man's Battle is a place where people change.
It's funny you use that picture of the lifeline. We have a board member who is an alumnus of Every Man's Battle. And when he shares his story, he said, New Life threw me a lifeline.
Exactly.
And I've grabbed hold of it, and I am hanging on, and I am not letting go. And I just love that picture.
It's good, and lives change there.
Women, if your husband is one of those that needs it, it's not too late. Get him to come, talk to him. And guys, we haven't lost anybody yet, so you can come. Hardest part is making the trip and walking through the doors, and you can do that. So call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. Also, I just wanted to share that if you make a gift today, it's a new month, August. We have a new thank you gift this month, and it's one of our Arterburn Wellness Series books, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissistic Personality Disorder. So if you have issues with somebody with narcissism in your life, this is a book for you. Make a gift, any size gift. We'll send you that book. Steve Arterburn wrote that with one of our network counselors, Pat Coleman, and quite experienced, real good counselor. These two have corroborated and made a really good book. And it's been a very popular subject here at New Life the last couple of years. And Sherry, you've done a lot of work with some of the things we've done on narcissism.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And so just want to encourage you for that. So make a gift, please. And if you could make a commitment to give $30 a month, be part of our automatic giving program. It's called Club New Life. We need at least 6 people a day for a month. We didn't make that quite last month. First time since we started this in March that we didn't make it. We made like 94, I think, and we need 110. 6 people a day for every day we're on the air. So would you please be one of the 6? You get this whole Arterburn Wellness Series. You get access to our Club New Life video library. the two of you have done videos on that library.
Yes.
And they're really special, along with the other co-hosts and Steve and some of our network counselors. So please help us out financially how you can. We appreciate your help. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE, 229-3000 to be on with us today.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve, and we have Dr. Alice Benn and Dr. Sherry Keffer. We're going to go right to the phones. We're going to talk to, is it Jael in Quincy, Massachusetts, listens on Sirius XM. Welcome. How can we help you, and did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah, it's JL.
That's JL. Okay.
That's
thank you.
I'm going to make it pretty quick and simple. I've been married 6 years to my husband, and I have 4 kids. I have 3 by him, ages 1, 2, and 4. My oldest is 14. He left me 2 years ago when I was pregnant with the 2-year-old, disappeared. Mm. Caught him texting someone. I actually contacted the young lady, which is a lot older than me as well, and she pretty much said, you know, your husband doesn't want you to take care of your children. Well, I took my husband back. We ended up having a surprise baby, and that little boy is now 15 months, and he's gone again. I don't hear from him. I have 2 vehicles in my name that he's left. 2 very expensive vehicles. My insurance company called me and told me that he got another car in his name. I kind of feel like he just used me to be successful or try to gain his success, even though I'm currently in law school and no job. The agreement was I could go back to school full time. And I think there's some jealousy there. There's some insecurity. I don't belittle my husband. I do not disrespect him. When I married him, he did not work. He had no job or money. But there was potential in him, and that's why I chose to marry him. But my thing is, what should I do next? I really feel like I should file for some type of divorce, but I think he will be retaliate, and he wants me to look like bitter and angry because he no longer wants the marriage. But I had asked him to leave several times because the disrespect and the abuse was so bad that my 4-year-old was biting his nails off the nail bed.
Wow, JL. Oh, my goodness. You and your children are going through so much, and not for the first time. Mm-hmm. So as you ask, what should I do now, would you tell us just 2 or 3 things? What have you done? Have you gotten any legal consultation? Have you taken any steps to start informing and protecting yourself?
I have not, because of the fear that to him, I'm like everybody else. He has other children by, he has 2 other children by 2 other women from his younger years, and they've had to do the same things. I mean, to the point where I've called them and apologized to them with how I even viewed them based on how he talked about them to me. And so I myself realized that his family isn't calling me. They're not trying to support me. I mean, I almost died with my last 2 children giving birth to them.
Oh, JL, it just keeps getting more complicated as you tell me. Yeah. There are so many layers to this, and there's quite a history with your husband's past. So understanding that you fear retaliation, what is the worst thing you fear he will do, especially knowing his history, if you take legal steps to protect yourself?
What I fear is my character being assassinated. I think that's what I fear the most, not necessarily him hurting me, but going into a courtroom and him having to explain how I was in this marriage. And I would say to my husband, I would say, you know, that's not a man if you have to treat me. That's not being a man. A real man doesn't do this. And then he'll, in return, have actually heard me say, you're not a man. And I would say, I didn't say you're not a man. I am saying to you that men do not call their wives out of their name. Real men do not treat their families and hurt the wife in front of the children. I have said that, but he hears something completely different.
Okay, so I'm going to step in here because I understand your concern about character assassination and that you may have been holding back on taking steps. Given that you have such young children, that you're in school full-time and you're not employed, I want you to prayerfully consider the cost of not pursuing legal protection at full force for you and your children. And the first step can just be a consultation with an attorney. And I'd include a consultation with a pastor, too, so that you just have some spiritual support in what you're doing and get some clarification and backing for that, too.
Sherry, what are you thinking?
You know, JL, I guess you know what I'm picking up on is I'm wondering how long you have been over responsible.
Since I was a child.
There you go. There you go. And so growing up in your family, did you come from an alcoholic family?
No, but my parents did.
Okay.
So they're codependent. They're all crazy all over the place. I'm the oldest
all
of
right.
their children, and I'm still responsible for mending their broken relationships, mending their broken relationships with their children and me.
Yeah.
You know, it's JL. You need to call your sister and wish them a happy birthday. You need to do this. But yet they're disrespectful to me, and they don't speak to me. So I realize that my husband is actually just a familiar thing.
It is. It is. Because I'm hearing a lot of over-responsibility. Mm-hmm. But I'm also hearing somebody who is, I guess there's someone might not notice this right off because you're educated, you're articulate, you're smart, and you're a good mom. But what I also hear is a woman who is not sure of who she is.
I'm not.
Yeah. Like, and
I was named after my mom.
Okay.
And my mom can't see me being anybody else but her.
Okay.
And my mother also has the same amount of children that I have, and I only grew up seeing her depressed, miserable, still holding on to this rekindled marriage with her and my father. And she'll say to me, you're more like me than you think. And I'm completely trying to tell her I'm not.
Yeah. And so
when you say that, I don't know who I am. I'm just starting to because I no longer speak to her.
I know. And so guess what? Some of us have grown up in homes just like you. I did, actually. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of cray-cray as well. And so it's kind of like I was a brown paper bag that was empty inside. I didn't have a lot of my own core, my own self-worth to push back. So I tolerated intolerable situations. And I took on too much responsibility. What Alice is appealing to you for is really for safety, for financial safety, for protection. She's wanting to call you into enough is enough and drawing a line somewhere. So I just want to have you consider what Alice says. And I also want you to think about doing some work in order to fill up that brown paper bag of yours with the truth, which is you are a strong woman. You can stand strong. You are a woman of truth and integrity, and this is driving you crazy that he's not being true to you. And then also learning how to not take on somebody else's stuff, right? If he says you're like everybody else, you don't need to take that in. It can bounce off you like rubber, right? You don't need to take in his whining, complaining drama. You can push back and say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but what you're doing is not right. So,
And there, I think there are two simple ways, not easy, but simple, to combine what you and I are both saying, because JL sounds like she knows what to do, but is struggling to do it.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to hurt him.
Yes.
Right? She's in that over-responsible place.
Yes. And I think, JL, that you will need prayer and moral support, and I want you to ask for that today. You can get it already from us as we are learning your story, but ask for somebody else in your life to pray and give you moral support. Make an appointment with an attorney and ask a safe friend to accompany you to that appointment. And that accountability, I believe, will help you follow through.
Yeah, and then stay on the line. And just like I hooked that other woman into one of our new life therapists right before we got on the show, stay on the line and we'll get you into a therapist in your area that can help you walk this out.
Thank you, JL, for calling. Let's send JL Take Your Life Back.
That's perfect.
That might be good for
you. Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. Well, we're going to go now and talk with Greg from Haywood, Virginia. Listens on Sirius XM. He's a truck driver. Hello, Greg. How can we help you?
Hey, how are you, Larry and Sherry and Allison? How are y'all today?
Hi, we're doing good, Greg.
Super. First of all, I want to say thank you all for everything you do. Larry, I actually met you at EMB in Washington, D.C. back in 2011.
All right.
And so I'm an EMB graduate. And Sherry, I actually called the show several years ago. My wife and I had just separated, and I remember speaking with you then. And I remember you commending me for stepping up to the plate and working three jobs to take care of my family during a separation.
Wow. So what's the issue today, Greg?
Well, I'll ask you my question, and then you all can ask me if you need any background information. But I guess my question is mainly for Sherry and Allison. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she's very clingy to her dad. She is a daddy's girl all the way around. And, of course, I drive a truck. I'm gone all week, and I'm home on the weekends. And she just, you know, when I'm home, she just likes to be with her dad. If, you know, we're at church, and if I'm standing talking to somebody, she just wants to be close to me. She wants to hold my hand or sit right up next to me in church. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's just, issues that her mom and I had years ago when we had first separated. We've been back together now for probably the last 4 years. And so she was probably 7 or 8 maybe. And so I'm just wondering if maybe she just has a fear that maybe daddy's going to leave and I know she probably doesn't understand everything that went on between her mother and I guess I'm just looking for some help with if that's normal or if she's just trying to express her feelings. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to let these two answer, but my first thought is it could be a part of that past separation, but it might just be you're gone all week and she likes to be around you and you might want to cherish those moments. But go ahead, ladies.
Okay.
Well, Greg, as Larry says that, I'm curious, do you think it's negative that it's over the top that your daughter is seeking you out as much as she does?
I missed the first part of that. I'm sorry.
Do you think it's a negative that it's unhealthy or she's clinging to you, as you use that word, that it's too much that she's seeking you out this way?
You mean that she's too clingy? Is
right.
that what you're asking?
Yes. Do you think it's too much?
I don't know. I mean, she's my only girl. I mean, she has two older brothers. Her oldest just got married, and her other brother will graduate from high school next year. But I just didn't know. I mean, I've never raised a teenage daughter, so I just didn't know if that was something normal or, you know, I mean, she's
I think there's probably a lot of dads right now listening to you wishing their 13-year-old would be snuggling up next to them or holding their hand at church. Let me chime in here for a second. I want to ask you a question, and this is really common for dads when their daughters start to develop, especially around those prepubescent teenage years. A lot of times dads begin to feel uneasy about their daughter's affection because they have some uncomfortable feelings about what is too much. Mm-hmm. And especially, I'm so proud of you as an EMB graduate. I got to just tell you, I'm even more proud of you now than when we first talked. But have you had some uncomfortable feelings around her touch and trying to navigate that as a man? And I don't mean that you're thinking sexual thoughts about her, but it's a really cumbersome place for a lot of dads. And many dads pull away instead of pressing in because they're afraid of their own feelings.
It's never really been uncomfortable, Allison. I mean, there's never been anything as far as inappropriate. I guess I pull away sometimes at church because I guess in the back of my mind I'm wondering
what people are thinking.
I don't see other guys' daughters doing that.
I know.
I'm wondering, okay, well, and that's why sometimes I'll pull away. But
Greg, we're going to have to go to a break and we'll finish
we'll
up
right
after this. Okay, thanks. Hold on.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, but it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Greg, and Greg has a daughter who's like 13 years old, and she's a little clingy. He's a truck driver, gone 5 days a week, and he's just wondering how normal that is and how he should be feeling. Sherry,
I just wanted to finish our thought here. So, you know, Greg just shared that, you know, he's kind of worried about what some of the other folks at church might think. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, again, applaud him on the healing that he's had in his own sexuality and how he's repaired with his wife. And I do believe she misses him. I mean, not seeing a dad, those
Five
families
days a
week. Where their dads travel during the week, they long to be with that person that's not there. So press into that. And I want to say, even be a leader. Don't be afraid to lead by example. And even letting your daughter holding your hand or hugging you at church, maybe move the other men to look at what's going on here in our families. And God's going to use it, right? Just work on repairing with your daughter. Don't push her away, because she'll pick up on that and she'll feel that as rejection. So not only am I not seeing you, but now you're pushing me away. Press into that. And I guarantee you, probably in the next couple years, as she matures and develops, she'll come to a point where she's like, okay, Dad, don't drop me off at school. You know,
the other dads at church probably aren't gone 5 days a week, so their daughters might not be that way, and that's okay.
It's totally okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
And there are a couple of questions that we can all ask our kids, especially if they have suffered separation or loss, because it's wise, Greg, for you to consider that the past may continue to affect her. So I want you to go to her today and ask her, how was it for you when Mom and I separated? Or if face-to-face if you're out on the road still. But ask her that question and just let her speak her heart and perhaps her hurt to you. And the second one is, how does it affect you when I'm gone during the week? And again, just hear her heart. The way you love her now, Greg, will affect the kind of romances she seeks out in the future. So this is such an important time, and we're proud again of what you're doing here.
Thank you, Greg, for calling. Book for Greg. I'm trying to think of something.
How about how we love our kids?
How we love our kids.
Yep.
Perfect. We'll send that. Let's talk to Mary Lou in Albany, New York. Listens on WHAZ. Hello, Mary Lou. How can we help you today?
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. My family member is a pastor of a Christian church. But when it comes to my family, he just says mean things. And, you know, just says awful things and always seems to cause problems. So now I'm in a situation with my granddaughter because I have to apologize for him to him for telling him to go to hell after he just treated me awful, even in front of this, you know, his wife, and neither one of them just treated me awful for everything that I do for them. And so my adrenaline was flowing, you know, shaking like a leaf, and I just told him to go to hell. So in order to see my granddaughter, I have to apologize to him, but I can't apologize to him. She's done so much damage. Just saying awful, mean things to my family, you know. And I'll give you a for instance to one of my daughters. She's not well off like my other four daughters are. She's a little bit, you know, lower income. And so I always give her my bottles and stuff. And one day he said he was putting the bottles in the car to her, and I wasn't there, but he comes in and he says, oh, yeah, and I also threw change on the ground. You know, that's my daughter. You know, she's supposed to be a Christian. You know, you're supposed to bring families together, not tear them apart.
Well, you know, Mary Lou,
she's been doing this and saying awful things to even my other daughter and her husband. You know, and I'd like to head it up to here with it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, ladies.
So I don't know what to do.
So this is the deal. I believe you, and I'm heartbroken that he's moving in much of an entitled, self-righteous sort of way, right? Because he's taking on this one-up position that I'm better than you, right? And I'm going to throw change on the ground. I mean, that's horrible. That's horrible to say about somebody who is in a worse place. So what happens is is that you begin to feel like helpless around or powerless around his comments. And I think what has happened is you've been stacking for a while and not able. I don't know that you have found the words or the means to communicate the hurt. And I think that's why you went up into an angry, more offending mode, which doesn't really get what you want anyway, right? Because now, instead of him making an apology to you for his bad behavior, now because
he did apologize, but it wasn't like a real apology. It was just an apology, you know, that he should have talked to me about that. But still, I had enough.
I hear that.
I had enough.
But I'm telling you, and you're not in trouble. I want you to hear this. When we stack our pain, when we're hurt over and over again, when we're victimized over and over again, we can blow like a volcano. And I want to help you figure out what you can do to bring your hurt and pain to him more regularly.
Yes.
Because you have a right to be heard, and what's happening is wrong. And he is in a one-up position. And as a pastor, he's lost his way, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Well, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back and finish up after this. Hold on, Mary Lou.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Mary Lou, and she has a family member who pastors a church who is not very kind to her. And Alice, you had some thoughts.
Well, Mary Lou, we heard your tears when you even just first began describing the problem. So the amount of pain you must be going through as you try to figure out how to handle this situation. And it sounds like your beliefs are also very important to you with your own behavior. So you had that humility and willingness to say, I also stepped out of bounds and said something I shouldn't have said to him. And there is great room for God to work through you because of your courage, your willingness, and your love for your family. So I wonder if you were to say to him, your family member, I want a better relationship with you. And I realize I'm not always upfront with you. I don't always share my thoughts when I should. And so then sometimes I explode like I did the other day. I shouldn't have said that to you, and I'm sorry that I did. But I do want to share a little bit more truth. It hurt me when you said that comment about throwing change on the ground for my other daughter to pick up. That really hurt. If you were to tell him that, Mary Lou, how do you imagine he'd respond?
I don't know.
Okay. Mary Lou,
There's so many things.
Mary Lou, there are. And so I'm going to give you a step-by-step way to start breaking it down. Because it sounds like you've held in the hurt for so long. And maybe you have some people-pleasing conflict avoidance like I do. And when we let that hurt build up, it does leak out somehow, somewhere. And it can be overwhelming to figure out how to fix it. I have hope, Mary Lou, because of something you said about him, that he apologized, even though it didn't seem like a good enough apology, but that he did have the grace to apologize. So I'm going to lovingly challenge you to take to him what I said, a small admission of your experience of him. And the more you can do that soon after these hurts happen and take it with grace and truth, as the Bible teaches us to, your hurt will diminish and your reactivity will diminish. And I believe if we can pray through this, God's grace will move through you to him. It is so worthwhile to try this.
Mary Lou, thank you. Thank you for calling. I hope you can do what Alice is suggesting, and I hope that slowly you'll start to develop that relationship that you're desiring for that. And
okay, we'll try that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks. We're on your side, girl.
And we think you're courageous.
Yeah. Let's send her take your life back. I think that would help her. Okay, let's go to Felicia. She's on line 5. She listens on Sirius XM from Comic New York. Hello, Felicia.
Hi.
How are you today? How can we help you?
Yeah, I'm about to make a decision that's going to change everyone's life, and I am asking, should I divorce?
Well, tell us a little more. What's prompting you to want a divorce?
I had an affair a few years ago, and then I confessed it to my husband after the 4 years of the affair. And I used some pastors from a church to come and confess it so I could have people there. And I told, it's just so hard. I asked him to forgive me, and now I'm facing the fact that he doesn't want to move. He's abandoned the relationship. For the past 3 years, we haven't spoken.
True.
We have 3 children, 2 with special needs, and I have a 19-year-old who's severely depressed. My 16-year-old is suicidal, and I'm just facing the heavy burden of making the decision because he will not talk to me.
Felicia, do you share custody with your husband?
We live in the same house.
Oh.
He lives upstairs in the bedroom.
Okay.
I live downstairs in on the first floor on an air mattress.
Felicia, it was so brave of you to confess the affair. And I understand you involved pastors in it, too, to try to help that confession. After you confessed and asked his forgiveness, give us the top 2 or 3 other things that you have done to try to bring healing into your marriage. What else have you done?
I tried to meet with the pastors at his church because we go to separate churches now. And I tried to ask him to forgive me through text because he will not look at me. Every time he enters into the room, he covers his eyes so he wouldn't look at me, or he just is so angry looking.
And in addition to meeting the pastors and asking him for forgiveness, those are good steps. Have you been getting help? Have you been getting professional help from a counselor?
I've been seeing, I've been seeing a couple of counselors. One was from his church, because he's trying to mediate a meeting for us. And my husband's like, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm also, I have someone from a church out here where I live in Long Island that's been helping me get through because I need help. And it's, I'm going through a lot.
Sure.
In the past 2 nights in the emergency room because my son wants to commit suicide, and then my daughter has kidney issues.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And so he doesn't really spend time with his kids. I've been begging him to spend time with his son, because his son is also having identity crisis against the hormones. Hormones is against him. The fact that he has autism, ADHD.
Okay.
He has a gender
We get the picture.
You got it?
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. So, you know, Felicia, first off, I want to applaud your courage as well. And I want to speak into where I think this thing went off the tracks is when you confess to your husband that you had had the affair, what you did was you invited him in to forgive you. And I can understand why you wanted to do that. You felt bad about what you did, and you wanted it to be behind you both. But let me tell you, I have been on the other end of an affair, and I think forgiveness was an impossible step for him because it was too soon. He hadn't really been able to talk to you about the broken trust, the impact of the pain, the deception, the confusion around who he thought you were, right? That he thought you were his wife, that he could love and be with and have a family with, and yet all of a sudden he finds out that you've been with somebody else 3 years after the fact. Can you understand how confusing and hurt he might have been at that point?
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so...
But there's one component that I have to mention. When I had the affair, I had bipolar manic depression issues that I didn't find out until after I confessed. And ended up in a psychic ward for a month.
Okay, and I'm hearing
because
that.
My blood pressure went up.
I'm hearing that, and I want to hold on to you right now because I'm going to say something that's probably not going to feel good. I'm glad you got help for your bipolar. Yet, you still had an affair. If you talk to him in the same way you just brought that to me. I wouldn't hear you. I would hear you blaming it on bipolar instead of on your choice. I'm not sure he's really had a chance to hear. You own this for what pain has been put into his world. I'm not saying you weren't hurting, but when we discount our offense, when we discount what we've done, we keep the other person from healing. So I wrote a book. Go ahead.
But I'm not discounting what I've done.
What
I'm saying is that at that time, I wasn't able to even be there for him. When I first got that in 2012 is when this all came out.
And
because I was in distress.
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. But
that's your secret. But throughout the whole marriage, I felt unloved. And I'm not justifying it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not justifying what I did was wrong. I betrayed his trust. I know that I'm wrong in this area. However, I forget.
We got to take a break. We're going to finish up right after this.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Felicia. She's had an affair several years ago. Husband hasn't spoken to her in 3 years. There's a lot of stuff around this, and Sherry, you want to keep going and talk to her more.
So, hey, Felicia, so let me bring in a couple things that you've said just in the last few minutes. When you say but, or when you say however, you negate the pain. You basically squish it. You deny it. Whenever you say but or however, somebody doesn't feel heard on the other end. And I'm not even sure you know you do that. Because what you're trying to do is explain or defend your position and why you did what you did. You have owned it. You owned what you did, but you haven't allowed your husband to heal. He won't heal.
How long does something like this take to heal?
Well, let me be honest with you. If he hears buts and however, he won't heal. He needs to actually...
We don't talk. There's no communication.
Well, you know why?
It's silent.
I get it.
Torture.
So let me tell you this. I did a research with 100 women, and men are, I know they're different gender, but they get betrayed too, right? And 76% of them had symptoms of post-traumatic stress from the betrayal. Your husband is dealing with some PTSD from your affair. That's why he looks and behaves so differently than he did before. And he's not come out of it. He's like frozen in the pain. And so I'm going to actually send you my book. I want you to read it. It's called Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. Now, I want you to read it because I want to help you build compassion around what he experienced. And then I'd like him to read it as an opportunity for him to have a voice around the betrayal. Until you guys talk about it and talk about the pain and you're able to hear him without discounting or minimizing or explaining away, he's not going to move.
It might be good for him to listen to this program online.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it, Felicia. If you think that he would listen, it would be great. It would be great because then he could hear us fighting for him.
He won't hear anything that I have to say, anything that has to do with me giving him information,
okay.
A sermon.
Then do this. Then do this. Just give him my book and tell him it came from somebody else who was betrayed and who's been where he is. Just give him my book. Hmm. Can you do that? Because I get where he's at. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's feel good. I'm not saying it's healthy. I'm saying it's a product of broken trust and post-traumatic stress. Alice, do you have any thoughts?
He's been like this even before I had an affair. He would go days without talking to me.
So, Felicia, you're doing it again. And I'm saying this with love because I want something better for you, your family, and your kids. You're doing it again where you're giving us explanations. And they all may be true. We believe that there's motivation of why you've done what you've done. There's reasons why this marriage has been so difficult. Of course there are. I don't think you've been a safe listener for your husband. And so I want to equip you with some words that you can say to him. And you may have to put this in a note because you haven't been a safe person for him to speak to. I think it's why he's shut his mouth for all these years. So a way to be a conduit of grace to him is to let him know, I have not been a safe listener to you. I minimize and I explain too much. And I wasn't even aware I was doing that. Would you come with me to a counselor who's going to help me become a better listener for you? If you won't do this for me, would you do this for our family and for our children? Because they are dying right now with the pain our family is going through. Please give me another chance. If you need to listen back to the show to write all that down in a note and give that to him, please do it. It may save your children's lives with what they're going through right now.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for your willingness.
You.
Yeah, and for your call. We so appreciate your vulnerability here with us today.
Thank you. We're sending intimate deception,
yeah.
Of course. Okay. Well, how quickly can we do a call, or should we? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Tell you what, we're going to be the speediest thing we can be. Lori, we've only got a couple minutes, but you've been waiting, and we want to see if we can help you. Tell us as quickly as you can why you're calling today.
I have a daughter that has cut off the parents, grandparents from seeing her family, and we have just felt very heartbroken. And we feel like the wall is up.
And what reason, if I asked her why she did that, what would she say to me?
She would say that she had a lot of anger to her dad. And then also, you know, just anger, just a lot of anger. She had always a lot of problems with relationships. And that, I think it's rooted in some of it. With us parents, we have a son that was 6 years older than her, and then
Lori, I'm going to jump in with a question because we're so short on
yes.
time. Has her
yes.
dad done anything yes. that's been toxic, that's been dangerous, abusive to her?
Oh yes, I would feel yes.
Okay, and are you still with him? Are you still with her father?
Yes, 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 and he is. Suffers from depression, bipolar, and alcohol.
Okay. And Lori, is he in recovery? Is he getting consistent help?
Yes, yes.
He is?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And so, yes, he is. And so, she is borderline personality. And so that would be since she was 13 years old. She's 38
okay.
now.
So,
and so I just don't know. I have confessed it to my pastor.
Right, so let me jump in. This is Sherry.
Talk.
So borderline personality comes out of primarily feeling abandoned when you're growing up or toxic situations where there's been harm in our home. And so it's an attachment disorder. So she, you know, I know everybody starts putting labels on everybody, and I want to say stop it. I want to say go in and start looking at the core pain and focus on healing that pain. Remember, Felicia, we just had a call, and I know you got to listen, was not a good listener. She had hurt her husband, but hasn't really listened to his pain. And I know he's unwilling to talk, but she hasn't been created a healthy nest for that to happen.
Safe.
It's not safe. So you need to create a healthy nest for your daughter to bring her pain from the past because she was really hurt. And you will not see your grandkids until you guys repair what happened in the past. Because she's trying to keep her grandkids safe. Alice, you have a thought.
And Laurie, a tough truth. This is a guess, but a tough truth may be you haven't been safe either for your daughter because perhaps you tolerated for too long or allowed it to
go defended.
On. Yes. And so any acknowledgement that you can get to your daughter, even if it is in a letter, of the pain you both have caused, the help that you've been getting, and your desire just to hear her anger and her pain may be the next best step.
Thank you, Lori. Sorry that was so rushed, but we wanted to get you in. Let's send her Take Your Life Back. And folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting New Life. We need your financial help every month. We don't like to ask as much as you don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. And persistence and perseverance, we're going to keep asking. We know you'll give. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.